guys, welcome to Scrubland Presents A Deck Builder's Wasteland. Today, this is the first of hopefully many episodes. We're going to be talking about Ultima 66's Esperd control deck. With me, this is Burrows. I've got just Daniel Sale today.
Hey there.
But Casby's out. He's doing some playtesting, hanging out with some guys. The Wednesday night session that we talked about earlier. So this deck list, we played it a lot tonight, and it was... I feel that it was a really good deck, and it's got a lot of synergies and good things that Esper really wants to do. There are two ways to build Esper right now. I feel like you can build it with a very heavy discard package, which I personally prefer, or you can build it with like very aggro controlling.
As Casby would say, you got to play the boom booms.
Right. I almost feel like this deck that was presented was pre-boarded versus Jund, to be honest. And maybe
it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your main deck two negates, which I used to board in on the play. No, whenever I was on the draw against Jund, if they just ripped a turn three Blightning, just turn three Blightning you, that's what I'd want to do, is I'd negate that. That's why I had two negates in. That was literally my pre-board strategy.
Okay, so tell me what you've played with Esper.
I've played three or four different Esper decks over the past 6 months, and I've played everything from the crappy Ultimatums to Grave Titans to Mind Shatters, which was definitely my favorite. And I've got a lot of experience about this deck, and I've got a lot to say.
But you've got very mixed results with this deck too, right?
I mean... They're all very different decks. Brilliant Ultimatum was nothing near Mind Shatter, was nothing near Grave Titans, you know?
Okay.
Like, about the only, the closest two decks were the Grave Titans and the Mind Shatters, but it's still completely different playstyle.
Right.
Although, in my experience, Esper has always had one objective, and this deck strays from that a little. The objective was, you rip their cards out of their hand with discard, and then you play fatties. And this deck needs to get some focus in it, and let's talk about that. In the lands, let's start with the lands. This mana base is very even over the three colors. We have seven man lands, five fetch lands, four of which are marsh flats, one is a Scalding Tarn.
25 total.
25 total, that's right. And the basics, I believe, are probably split up. They need to be more focused towards planes. Because if you look at the deck list, it's three Baneslayer, two Elspeth, two Gideon Jura, three Grave Titan, three Jason Mind Sculptor, four Wall of Omens, three Condemn, two Day of Judgment, four Esper Charm, four Mana Leak, two Negate, three Path to Exile.
Heavy white.
Very heavy white. It's ridiculously heavy white. And that's fine. It's a new take on Esper, I feel like, because you're so aggro-centric. It's just, you're basically just pre-boarded against all the aggro decks right now, which is great. I felt like the old Esper deck didn't have any footing in the metagame right now.
Most of the Esper decks I've seen put up are generally, they look like white-blue control decks that splashed black.
For Esper Charm, yeah.
For Esper Charm, or maybe for a Grave Titan or something out of the board. But they never felt like true three-color decks or anything like that. This is a very white-centric deck that splashes both the blue and the black elements. Right?
You're correct. The whole reason that... this is how the breakdown of most Esper decks went. They said, blue-white decks are the best. Let's play black so we can have these Esper Charms, so we can have situations where we have two to rip out your hand or just... you know, blow up Oblivion Rings in crucial situations. And then they said, you know what? We can also play Creeping Tar Pits because that wins Jace Wars. And then if we're going to have so many Creeping Tar Pits, we have to have more black sources to activate them. So if we have so many black sources, why don't we play some Grave Titans? And that's how...
Right.
That was the whole deck.
It's the power of playing three colors, though.
It is.
Sure. So what we played tested this against tonight. Chris went ahead and took the Esper head, and I took the everything else head. And... we started out playing Fauna Shaman, which is a deck that I've been real hot on.
Yeah.
And is a very, very powerful deck. It's a force in the metagame, and it's something that you need to know how to beat. How did you feel like your matchup was? Because I 3-0'd you pretty easy.
It's true. The whole thing was... I mean, there were... it's not... You can say that it was pretty easy, but the first game, you had to rip the Sun Titan off the top to take the game, and that was your one out. And in a, we were one of... in a deck.
Sure. Yes.
And a lot of the, like, it just felt very unfocused when I played it.
Here's what I did on the play against this Esper deck. Was I made a turn 2 Fauna Shaman, and it got Path to Exiled.
Yeah, I felt like you had to do that because
you had to, because
in my hand I didn't have the tools to deal with Fauna Shaman into Vengevine into Bloodbraid.
Because the removal spells in this deck are Mana Leak, if you want to look at that as removal, Path to Exile, and Condemn. So the only and two Day of Judgments.
Which
so
is
the
too
only
few.
So the only ways really to kill your an opposing Fauna Shaman
is to path it.
Which and is so not good. So because he pathed it on turn 2, it ramped me straight into a turn 3 of Johnny Vengeant,
which I ended the game because
and it just wrecked him.
Yeah.
He had no shot from there because my guy just went straight up to 7 and I was so far ahead in the game the rest of the time by making just Vengevines and any Day of Judged and Bloodbraid Elf, and I did what my deck's supposed to do, and it just was a kind of a blowout from there, just avalanched into death. And
I would almost say that this deck doesn't need Mana Leaks, except for that situation. You just have to have ways to deal with, you know, opposing Planeswalkers, and Mana Leak does a pretty good job of that.
How do you feel about removing the Mana Leaks from this deck entirely, not playing counter spells, and then moving more to a classic Solar Flare type build that uses Oblivion Ring or Journey to Nowhere or Martial Coup or Mind Spring or Mind Shatter, things that are sorcery speed that are very powerful, and just all your spells are sorcery speed except for the removal spells and Esper Charm?
I feel like that would be more powerful in like solidifying those matchups which aren't very good right now. Like your Naya matchup is bad because of Vengevines, and that's literally it. Like if it like you're even your one of package, your one of Realm Razor, your one of Sun Titan, they're dealable with your with Condemn, Path, and Wrath of God. You got plenty of choices, but the real deal is you need to recognize that there are also decks that, like, let's say Mythic is still a formidable contender right now and will wreck you out of nowhere, and that's the reason you cannot play Tap Out currently. And Wafatapa's build really isn't even Tap Out. It's not even close.
It's a classic control deck with Jace's Ingenuity.
Basically, I'm just going to follow his lead on this one and say that Tap Out is not the way to go.
I think that if Esper was going to be a force in the meta, it would have shown up. It would have come up at some point over the last couple weeks. We haven't seen a single Esper deck that's even been close to breaking through.
I disagree. I must have missed this one. Recently, okay. There was a deck, and it's not. It doesn't have. You're correct that it hasn't posted a result, but there's an article, a very very strong article recently online about. And I can't remember. I would love to credit the author on this. But he said a lot of things that I really agreed with. He said, Gideon's not good enough. He said, you want to one-for-one all the aggro decks in the early game and play 1-2 Mind Springs so you can just reload and finish them. And you have to have a very heavy spot removal package so that you can even play against Mythic, because you have to balance your turns between when you can tap out. You have to know this deck really well. You have to know what turns you're allowed to tap out. Whenever there's new sets, such as M11, there's going to be a ridiculous glass ceiling for new decks coming out. There's going to be a month to 2 months where anything is viable. There's 7 decks, and even though we were talking about the decks that kind of shook out at Chinese Nats, those were the decks that people had playtested and decided that those were the right decks, but there's still plenty of room for innovation. There's plenty of room for something to come out of left field, and we've even seen that. There's these fringe decks that are becoming playable, that are qualifying people for Nats, and
I guess really good. Right now, unfortunately,
Had qualified people for Nats. I apologize.
I feel like Esper is still a tier 2 deck. I would not play Esper in a tournament. I really wouldn't.
I feel like you are taking the argument that
it's not just because Esper doesn't have results. It's because I feel like the game plan of the deck itself doesn't shake out, and Ultima, thanks for the list. I think that your list has a couple problems that we would work on, but even with our new modified list that we're going to give you, I still feel like it's got some problems that the other decks in the format are just better. It's not that it's a bad deck. It's just that there are better decks.
All right. Well, let me state the list that I would play. That is a modification of the list that we did play to play test. And we haven't actually tested this yet, but it kind of shores up all of the different problems that I felt the deck had. It needed more focus. So I got rid of Gideon because, to be honest, I'm just going to say it. Gideon and Oblivion Ring, I have a real dislike for in the current format. I feel they're unplayable. And that's strong, and people are not going to like that. I feel they're unplayable. In an Esper build, I should say.
Blue-white
control needs an Oblivion Ring.
Gideon's taking a break right now.
That's right.
And he'll probably be good once rotation happens, but for right now, avoid the Gideon.
Right. And okay, so in this deck, I felt that the threat, the density of the threats was fine. There is 3 Jace, 3 Grave Titan, 3 Angel, 2 Elspeth. That's perfect. That's fine. You don't want too many Elspeths, and you want a good split of finding the kind of stuff you need. For Wall of Omens, if you're going to have some kind of speed bump, Wall of Omens doesn't really cut it anymore. So you need to be speed bumping them in another way, and Spreading Seas is back. Spreading Seas is back, baby, because
I like Spreading Seas over Wall of Omens.
I like them both.
Are you playing both in this one?
I chose to make 4 Wall of Omens and 3 Spreading Seas because there were some spots that I wanted to take out, like the Negates and the Gideons, and Spreading Seas fits the curve. It does exactly what you need to do, is you need to slow them down earlier, because this deck doesn't go pound for pound in the first 4 turns. It really doesn't.
So you need to get lucky. You need to get lucky by randomly killing your black source or randomly killing your green source.
It's not lucky. It's about slowing them down.
Spreading Seas is a little lucky sometimes.
Okay, well, let's say that it's got a function and it has the bonus of sometimes actually just winning off the back of Spreading Seas.
If it wins you 10% of your games, it's a card worth playing. For sure. And at a minimum, it cantrips and kill a man land.
But the reason you play it
is a very good card.
Right. But the reason you play it is not because of the wins you get. It's because it fits a portion of your deck. It fits a role. It just has that sweet upside. I went with the 3 Condemn, 3 Path to Exile package. I don't know if that's right. I felt like Condemn probably needs to be... I think the 4-2 split might actually be right for Path to Exiles to Condemns. But I feel like Condemn is just as good as Path, especially in the early game. Like, maybe they just run out that Vengevine, and you don't really want to Path them into their fifth land. Like, you don't want to Path them into their fifth or sixth land. That just sucks. It feels bad. I kicked it up to 3 Day of Judgment because you just need it. This is something I want to talk about, is 4 Esper Charm. You're not playing them to make them discard unless you have 2 in your hand. You're using them to blow up Oblivion Rings and other troublesome enchantments.
Eldrazi Conscription?
Eldrazi Conscription it is an enchantment. Damn.
It's an enchantment.
I've never done that.
It's a cute answer to an Eldrazi Conscription.
That's pretty funny.
It might buy you 1 turn as a surprise, and it also kills Pyromancer's Ascension.
It does. I was focusing on Pyromancer's Ascension. In fact, I was focused so hard on the fact that we have so much spot removal at this point that Mythic will never get through that I just didn't even think about it. I'm still playing 4 Mana Leak because this is your catch-all. In blue-white, Oblivion Ring is your catch-all. Mana Leak is your catch-all in this deck. You need to play it so that you hit, you know, your turns properly, but with the number of come into play tap lands you have, you should be fine on a regular basis. I recognize the fact why he played 1 Scalding Tarn. It's because he needs that island to keep those M10 duels untapped, and that's really important. And it's smart, and I still don't agree with it, but it's understandable. And then I also put 1 Mindspring main, because if we're going to be pre-boarded against Jund and the idea is to 1-for-1 them forever, then we need a way to reload in the late game. Tectonic Edge. Now, that's interesting. See, I really liked playing the I would literally just go straight back to the mana base of the last two Esper decks I've played. They were the exact same mana base, except for different manland counts. Literally. That was it. And it was essentially this, with one island, and it was like five plains, three swamps, and four marsh flats, and three of each M10 duel. And
we'll put some examples of just different mana bases in the show notes.
Yeah. And really, that allowed you to play some Tectonic Edges. And sometimes they're really good. Unfortunately, since we're playing Spreading Seas now, why are we playing Edge? And we don't need Edge. We want our mana base to be as solid as possible. And Spreading Seas does the same thing. And now that you've kicked it up to six removal spells, I mean, very rarely are you going to be able to, edge out a land so that you can resolve a mana leak profitably. Like, it's just better to have the good answers where you have them.
So, how do you feel about your Primeval Titan Valakut matchup? Because one of the things I found with Tectonic Edge, I play it as a one of, and I can go find it with my Knight of the Reliquary, is that you can edge out one Valakut, and sometimes it's okay. And then also in the board of this deck, you're still advocating the four Ley Line of Sanctity. So do you feel your Valakut matchup's okay?
I feel
even
like
after
you need four Ley Line. I feel like four Ley Line of Sanctity is probably just
is good. You think
how
that,
you should be?
Do you feel like that's good enough to beat that matchup?
I don't.
It's tough. It's a tough matchup.
They reliably kill you on their turn five.
They're fast.
They very reliably.
Wow.
Kill you. Yeah. And it's a really good deck. Okay, the thing is, maybe you could board some edges. I would board two edges. I would board maybe, well, two edges maybe a little much. I'd board one edge. But you have Spreading Seas, a really good someone just once told me that a really good Valakut player won't play their actual Valakut until the turn they're going to kill you. And I said most of the time that's basically impossible.
Primeval Titan has changed the math entirely, though. The matchup itself with Colony Garden and with Primeval Titan, it just changed the matchup in a way that they really do kill you on turn five.
Right.
Kill you. Not just have a impressive board advantage type area. Like,
they kill you.
Actually dead.
Yeah, I believe Primeval Titan with... I think one Primeval Titan swing is enough to kill you in any situation, basically.
Because because Primeval Titan goes to find two more Valakuts.
Multiple Valakuts, and
like,
then
he
you swing
like,
and
he
you
comes
die.
He comes into play, finds two, swings, finds two more lands. That can either be a third Valakut or two more.
Right.
But like finding one mountain is good. And then all the Rampant Growths, Explores, Cultivates, Colony Gardens, those are all lethal spells.
Right.
And because one Rampant Growth with four Valakuts on the table is 12 damage.
Right.
Split.
And
good
I,
luck.
I would,
you're just toast.
I would just say two words here. I would just say Mana Leak, except now they're also running Summoning Trap.
It's true, yeah.
So
the deck has some resiliency. Do you feel like maybe that's going to be the next deck Builder's Wasteland?
I want to say that probably. I would like to definitely check that out. I think it's a really good deck, and I've talked a lot about it, looked a lot about it.
We'll play test some red green Valakut ramp with Primeval Titans, and that'll be our next episode.
Yeah,
the next deck Builder's Wasteland.
The Wasteland. Thanks for listening in, guys. I hope this was informative and my expertise was appreciated.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You guys have a great night.
Peace.